As we continue to look at this portion of God's word here in Joshua chapter 3, we remind ourselves that the children of Israel who have indeed wandered in the wilderness for many years now, the majority of those who were set free from the bondage in Egypt under the leadership of Moses, the majority of those have long since gone. Many of them were consumed by the very wrath of God as the very ground consumed them because of their lack of faith, because of their disobedience. Very few who saw the wonders in crossing over the Red Sea that was parted and to cross over as on dry land. And also to see that the pursuing armies of the Egyptians, of Pharaoh and his great mighty armies, were drowned in the Red Sea as the waters came back and consumed them. Most had long since perished. Joshua and a few others being the only ones who were left, who had seen such things. Joshua was the one who was trained up under the leadership of Moses. But he was the man of God's choice to now lead the people. To lead the people to this final part of their journey, of their earthly journey here. To go and cross over into the promised land. That promised land that was first promised to Abraham when he was called out of the land of the Chaldeans, out even of idolatry, of idol worship. He never saw it. Neither did his son Isaac, neither did his son Jacob. And now we see that God is about to lead his people over into this rest in the land flowing with milk and honey. And we've seen so far, as we looked at these words, that God is meticulous in his commands to the people. The people were to be ready, but they were to go a certain way. They were not to go before the Ark of the Covenant, that which typifies Christ Jesus and all his work of atoning for sin. All of these things picture what God would do. And he is the one who goes before his people and leads them into salvation. And they were not to go until they saw the Ark of the Covenant. And they were to go after it. And we've been learning that we must only go after the Lord Jesus. Follow after him and him alone. And they were told that they were to keep a certain pace back. They'd never passed that way before. And you know, salvation is indeed that coming to know sins forgiven, that coming to know yourself pardoned of God, accepted of God, is a once only experience. You've never passed it before. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've not passed this way before. And you must indeed look to the way of salvation, typified by the Ark of the Covenant. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and his one sacrifice. And the people were to be ready. And God alone makes people ready. God alone sanctifies, makes his people holy. You can't make yourself holy. To be sanctified, to make yourself sanctified and holy, is to be indeed looking unto Christ only. But it is the work of God by his Spirit, who comes and indeed cleanses his people and gives them new life. This is called to be born again. You cannot be sanctified in the sight of God unless you be born again. And so we see tonight, as we look at these words in verse 7, what amazing words. And if we have eyes to see, we can see wonders of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said to Joshua, remember the name Joshua, we remind ourselves the name Joshua is one and the same as Jesus. It's the same name. And Joshua in many ways is a type he points to. He's not Jesus appearing in the Old Testament, but many of those things that we see in Joshua are typifying what Christ would do. He said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." It is interesting to see that here is when God declares to the people what he's already declared to Joshua. He already declared to Joshua in chapter 1, "My servant Moses is dead." He said this to Joshua, Moses' assistant. And he gives him the charge over the people of Israel now. But now we see God is declaring to the people openly. He's declaring to the people who Joshua is. The people must hear from God who Joshua is, to indeed behold him and to obey him. And of course, as we see, Joshua is a great type of Christ, pointing to Christ Jesus, the Son of God, pointing to him who is the one Saviour of his people. The title of the message tonight is Christ Must Be Revealed. Christ must be revealed. Christ must be revealed. People talk much today of revelation and spiritual things, and they haven't got a clue what it means. It's just the imaginations of their hearts, of their deceitful hearts at best, and at worst it's the deceptions of demons. Yeah, that's true. Just read your Bible. The doctrines of devils, the Apostle Paul calls it. But nonetheless, if you're ever to know salvation, and you who know salvation, you who are saved, it is, and you know it is, because of an experience. It is because of a definite experience. Christ was revealed to you and in you. If Christ is not revealed in you and to you, you cannot have a clue who he is. Christ must be revealed. Now I want you to think of a sporting or entertainment event in this world. I know these are fallible and weak illustrations, but think of an entertainment or sporting event, or any kind of event which is that needs to be advertised in this world. They usually are employed what are called promoters, and the promoter takes their cut in the money that comes from it, the profit that comes from such events. They take a massive cut, in fact. These promoters who oversee making that event known. Making it known. That's their responsibility, to make the event known. If you think of so many events, we take it for granted when we see a poster here and a poster there, an advertisement here and there, nowadays on the internet, on the radio, on the television, of an event. Somebody's responsible for making these things known. Somebody is the one where these things begin. to be brought to the attention of a greater number of people. Through various means. Now we see here in God's word, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, must be promoted alone above all things, above all people, above everything. In fact, we are told that the work of the church is indeed that Christ have all the preeminence, that he have all the preeminence. What is preeminence? Preeminence is that he be completely number one. He be the sole focus of our attention. He be the only one that we look to. He be the only one that we glorify. The only one that we point to. He be the only one that indeed gets the glory, the praise, the honour. Now sadly the church, or the professed church, perhaps I should say, over the centuries has more and more drifted away from this truth. From this essential thing. That Christ have all the preeminence. And you see, by the things which are said and done, Christ does not have the preeminence in the vast majority of so-called Christianity. He is a name amongst other names. He's a name amongst many other saints, so-called, and idols that are placed up. He is a second-class citizen in the church, in many cases. But Christ is the head of the church. He is the source of all life. He is the one through whom all the members of the body, which the church are called, the true church, each member is joined to him. And they get their nourishment from him. Without him, we can do nothing. Now we see here, in these words, that Joshua is being encouraged and indeed told by the Lord that he would be the one who would tell the people. He will direct the people that he is his man. He is the man that he has set forth. He has set him aside to now lead them over into the promised land. This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The people here may well have still, no doubt, held Moses in high degree. Maybe many of them, even though Moses was long since dead and buried. And God, in his wisdom, we read, God buried Moses. Are you filled with wonder at those words? Like me. It always amazes me. How did God bury Moses? No one knows where Moses is buried. No one. Only the Almighty. What great wisdom. Because men would have made a shrine of the grave of Moses. And they would have sought to have gone there to heap praise upon Moses. As is indeed what we are like by nature. By our fleshly nature. We always seek to set up things to praise God, to praise man rather than God. Moses was promoted before the Israelites as the man chosen and called to lead them from bondage in Egypt. And indeed, Moses had to know that God was truly sending him. For indeed, Moses continually asked the Lord, How indeed will they know that you've sent me? They'll not receive me. But God set his seal upon Moses. And this was displayed ultimately to the people when Moses raised his hands at the Red Sea and it was parted by the power of God. And him saying to the people, stand still, when they beheld the great armies of Pharaoh and his Egyptian forces coming to indeed pursue them across the Red Sea also. He said, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so now Joshua was to be magnified. That's the word the AV uses, magnified. Magnified in the sight of the people. And that's important. Magnified in the sight of the people. As Moses could only take them so far, you see. He was not permitted to go any further. He was not permitted to bring the people of God over into the promised land. Now, people give all manner of reasons why. Yes, fleshly reasons. Yes, Moses' moment of anger where he struck the stone, the rock. Or he broke the first tablets of stone out of rage against the people who were disobedient. People give many earthly reasons, but that's not the ultimate reason, I don't believe. I don't believe. Because God indeed never caused his people to look to law in order to find the promised rest. Because when we look at these Old Testament scriptures, we don't look just at those things that are taking place then. We look to those things that they've pointed to. And they speak of Christ. They always do. He was not permitted to go any further because Moses typifies, and him who was given the law typifies that which we cannot do of ourselves. Namely, to make ourselves acceptable to God. This honour to lead the people into the promised land was granted to Joshua. And we once again do not lose sight of the name. It was permitted and only granted to Joshua. The one who God said he was now going to begin to exalt, to lift up, to magnify. What a picture of how the law given through Moses only went so far. And only could. It only went so far as to reveal sin. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And all the sacrifices and all the ordinances, the observance of commands such as the Ten Commandments, and all the other commandments made in the law could not take away sin. As the familiar words in Hebrews 10:3-4 tell us, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's not possible that the observance of any laws, of any rules, of any regulations can make you clean before God. I was with Moses. But the law was given that indeed sin should be revealed. Sin should be revealed. The law found indeed, the tablets of stone found inside that Ark of the Covenant was covered over was it not? By the mercy seat. By the mercy seat, that thin layer which was overlaid with gold, and that on the Day of Atonement, when that sacrifice was made, the blood was sprinkled upon it. So that indeed, that which condemns the law was covered. The sin was covered. Pointing to a greater sacrifice that Christ would make once for all. And so we see pictured before us the one who is the fulfillment of the law and whose one sacrifice is acceptable and perfect. Have given for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Ephesians 5:2. For us, it says. For who? For who? For who was the sacrifice, the one sacrifice, this sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus? For who was this made? For those who are the people of God. Not for all people, but for those who are the people of God. Chosen unto salvation and given faith. How do you know if you belong to Christ? How do you know if you're one chosen unto salvation? Something quite simple. You believe on Him. You cling to Him for salvation. You call on Him for salvation. And you know. For those who are His people. And the Lord saying to Joshua in our text, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua was to be set forth as the leader of the Israelites openly, for all to see. And just the same, the one whom Joshua pictures began to be magnified. He began to be magnified in the sight of the people when he came to be baptized at the River Jordan. The same river. The same river. He came to be baptized at the River Jordan to picture indeed what he was about to do. To save his people from their sins. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. This same Lord Jesus. This Lord Jesus who lived in relative obscurity. Jesus of Nazareth. It seems suddenly appears on the public stage now. He appeared at his birth and his early infancy to a few faithful people who expected his coming. But now he comes and he appears openly before the whole people now. As he walks this earth and as he goes about his ministry that he was sent to do. And we read in Matthew chapter 3 that indeed John has come baptizing in Judea. He's come to the River Jordan and people, many came to him. His message was always repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Him who is King, Him who is Lord of all, the rule of God in the hearts of His people is at hand to those He calls to repent of their sin. And many came, and many false confessors of their sins came. Many of the religious folk went in, going through the motions, as so many do today. And he was not slow at coming forward in his language. He called them brood of vipers. He said, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And he tells the people, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will give you life. He will give you life eternal. He will come upon you by his Spirit and cause you to be born again. And this Jesus, we read, came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him. Verse 14, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? John recognized before him was his Lord, his Savior God. Why am I baptizing him? He has no sin. He has no sin to be confessed. Behold the words of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What he's saying is, when he was to be baptized, when he was to go under the water and was to be raised again, it is pointing to his death, his burial and his glorious resurrection, which the prophet Daniel had revealed to him. The Lord Jesus would be cut off. The Lord of glory, he would be cut off. Not for himself, not for his own sins, but for the people. And he would bring in everlasting righteousness. He would give righteousness to his people by his righteousness. But he had to indeed endure the sufferings of death. And then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. Once again, what must the sight have been? And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Like a dove. Only picture language. The Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The same one who the Father says he is the one we must hear. He's the one we must look to. Hebrews 1 tells us that God spoke in many ways unto the fathers, in diverse manners. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he made the worlds. And this Lord Jesus began to be magnified now in the sight of the people. He is the one. John himself, John the Baptist, declared when he saw him passing, he pointed his disciples away from himself, but to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And again he saw him and said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the one sacrifice. Behold the one way, the truth and the life. Look to him. This Saviour, the Lord Jesus, come forth from God to open up the way of life eternal, even as the imminent crossing of the River Jordan pictured. The River Jordan, the crossing of the River Jordan into the Promised Land, looks beyond that tiny strip of land in the Middle East. It looks beyond that. It looks to that land, to that heavenly land that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob looked to. to that city made without hands, whose founder and maker is God. And as Galatians 4 verses 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, in the previous words we read in Galatians, it's talking about the law which indeed only revealed sin. It's like a schoolmaster. It's like a schoolmaster. It kept the people in nothing but the knowledge of their sin. There was no hope. There was no hope in keeping that law. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so God says to Joshua, I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they will see that even as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And a greater one than Moses, a greater one than this Joshua, is come. He's come. God is not only with him, he is God. He's the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And looking unto him, all who look unto him live. The Lord magnifies his Son before those he gives salvation, you see. He must be lifted up. He must be glorified. He gives this salvation to the objects of his grace and mercy. And he's lifted up in only one way. And the Apostle Paul, the man of great learning, the man of great understanding of spiritual mysteries, he was content to do one thing. And he said that, in fact, woes upon him if he did not do this. This was what contented him to indeed lift Christ up on high. It is to proclaim Christ and him crucified. Behold the magnified, glorified one. People would think that indeed in a crucified one who would appear to indeed be without hope on a cross, there is no glory. Far from it. Far from it. For indeed, he on the cross himself nailed the ordinances that were against his people. He, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, was taken by sinful hands. God alone reveals his Son to those who are his people, we see here. I will exalt you in the sight of all Israel. All Israel. The people of God, the chosen of God, those out of every nation. They are called, we read in the New Testament now, as the Old Testament always pointed to. The people of God are called the Israel of God. The church. Out of every nation, they're called the Israel of God, the Jerusalem, the Zion. And these are the only ones Christ will be magnified before. We read in Isaiah 53, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now note the words just before that. The words just before that. Who has believed our report? These words are quoted in Romans 10. How shall they hear? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? But these are important words. Who believes? Who is given faith? The ones to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. Christ must be revealed. And God said to Joshua, I will magnify, I will exalt you in the sight of all Israel. They'll be left in no doubt. Each one who must know, they will be told. They will have it revealed to them. See again what the Lord is telling Joshua here. Not to all people. Not to all people. But to a chosen number. They were a privileged people. A small group of people compared to the rest of the nations around. But it was granted to them to receive the very oracles of God, the revelation of God, and not only that, to indeed receive the promises here of the Saviour yet to come. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Is the question. The question raised by Isaiah. Those he chooses to magnify, to glorify his Son within the heart of. Christ must come into your heart and be revealed. Such are caused to see by faith who Christ is. Do you know who Christ is? I don't mean, do you know what you've read historically in this book? Do you know who Christ is? The one who you read of in this infallible word. But do you know this one making his residence in your heart? Has he come to you? Has he been revealed to you within? Has Christ been magnified? Declared to be so great, so all important above all things to you. That's what salvation is, you know. Those who have experienced the salvation of God, they know they had to know Christ. I've just got to know him. I've just got to know him. There's nothing else. There's no one else. You may have many friends in this world. Many friends in this world. They may be good friends, relatives, friends, whatever. You may have many things that you hold dear in this world. Sooner or later, they will all, for one reason or another, flitter away. But the scriptures speak prophetically in the Old Testament of this Saviour. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And once he comes to you, he's going nowhere. Nowhere. He never leaves nor forsakes. That's who God says. That's who God promotes to you today. Sadly, in so many churches, it occurred to me earlier on, so many churches today who claim to believe in this Jesus, who claim to believe this good news of Jesus. You know when you see these posters, these out-of-date posters, going down a high street, usually in some disused shop, they'll be like, you look and you say, oh look, there's a circus on, or there's some event on. You think, oh, I'm quite interested in that. Only when you realise it, it's about a year out of date. It's long since gone. It's doing you no good. It's just an old poster. That's the message that so many people proclaim today. They proclaim to people, do this, do that. You must be accepted before God and be holy before God by works of the law, by obeying the Ten Commandments that you can't even keep. It's old, if I can use the expression, it's old hat now. And the Bible says this law has been abolished. Christ has fulfilled it all. It's the old. We worship Christ in the new covenant. He says when he indeed ended all sacrifice before he went to the cross in that Lord's Supper that which he brought into being, he says, this is the cup of the new covenant, the New Testament in my blood. All things new. And the new covenant says, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Look to Jesus, don't look to religion. It's finished. Religion will do you no good. Look to the one that God promotes before you this evening. God speaks to Joshua and tells him he will promote him before the people. For what? For what? That they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. If God come to you by experience, granting you faith on his Son, you know he is the one sent from God. They will know, he says. And God's people, those who must be saved, will be brought to know who Jesus is. Jesus, the one sent from God to give you life eternal, to lead you over that which Jordan points to, lead you to life eternal with God. As the Lord tells Joshua about the people recognizing him as their leader, so it is with knowing Jesus Christ the Saviour. He must give you eyes to see and to know. To know who he is. And knowing who he is, to indeed call on him. For the Lord Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. Said the Israel of God. And him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Not one. Not one. If you say you've come to Jesus and he's cast you out, someone's lying here. Someone's lying here. Either Jesus has lied or you never came to him. No one who ever came to Jesus was ever cast out. So, indeed, if he call you to come to him, taste and see that he is good right now. See also verse 44. No one can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him. Except the Father make him real to you. And I will raise him up at the last day. And so the question is, are you being drawn to come to Christ? Do you find yourself believing who he is? The only Saviour sent from God. Do you believe that he was crucified for you? I note my words. I don't say he was crucified for you. I say, do you believe he was crucified for you? Because only those who he was crucified for will believe. Because God will magnify this Christ in the sight of you if you're the one he came for. But Do you believe? Then see him by faith and call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That means there are a people who will call upon the name of the Lord. That means there are a people who will have this Lord revealed to themselves. Is it you? Then continue. Continue on. Continue on, you who know this Saviour. Have you been brought to know this Saviour? Is he your Redeemer? You who know God, who God has graciously promoted the glory of his Son to. Continue to make this your aim. To make this your aim. To see and know more of him magnified in your heart through seeking him in his word. Do you know what? We know nothing. Yes, we who are saved, we know the glories of salvation. But do we know much of that? Do we know much of the excellency who is Christ Jesus? Oh no, we don't. There is much more to know. And we pray that indeed we would seek by God's grace to know more of this, to make him the more preeminent one in our lives, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. These words are spoken to the believer. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.